Hi, this is Bishop E. James Logan, Senior Pastor of Christian Faith Fellowship Church in Zion, Illinois. Welcome to our podcast. I pray you'll be blessed by a fresh word from God every time you tune in.
You ready? Let's read together. Begin. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Father, help me today to make your will and your word plain that you can get the precious fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'm going to talk, teach, preach, prophesy, declare all that is necessary from a subject entitled The Ascension of Jesus Christ. The Ascension of Jesus Christ. Excuse me. Why is it important for us to talk about the ascension of Christ? I have said these things over the years as I have grown myself in knowledge and grace and grown in the office of apostleship and consecrated a bishop, that I understand my role more clearly, particularly for this assembly and those that call me their pastor and spiritual leader. As we move through history, some of us that are older realize and can see very plainly that much of Christendom, particularly in the West, has drifted away from the strong tradition of the scriptures. And we have adopted so many of our own traditions that Christ and who he is and what he means and our knowledge of him has gotten lesser and lesser. And you and I need to know, if we don't already know, that the more you know about a thing, the more power that thing has in your life. And not being disrespectful, calling Jesus a thing, but the more knowledge we have about Christ, the more Christ can use us, and the more power of Christ flows through us. The less you and I know about Christ, the less his power operates through us. And so consequently, our prayers have become incantations. I don't have time to go into that. So we need to understand the importance of the ascension of Christ. We know that a few weeks ago we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We tried to do it as big as we possibly could in this particular church to emphasize what Christ's resurrection means to us, because the world wants to reduce it to bunny rabbits and Easter eggs. But again, we need to understand the power of his resurrection. And so here we are now, days or weeks after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, in terms of us celebrating his resurrection. And we should know that Jesus didn't just rise from the grave and go straight to heaven. No, he walked around for 40 days. He walked around for 40 days and people saw him. And at the end of his 40th day is what we just read here, when he was taken up. Somebody say he was taken up. And then, of course, we'll get to that as we move forward. But 10 days after he was taken up was the 50th day. called Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost came. Look at somebody, even with your mask on, leave it on. While you're at home, sit here at home, you don't have your mask on. Look at somebody and tell them, all of us are Pentecostal. I'm going to talk about that later. We're all Pentecostal. That got you thinking right there. So here we are, 40 days after the resurrection, and Jesus is now ascended. He's taken up into heaven. Why is this important to us? Why must we understand this? Why must we get a grasp on the ascension? Let's talk about it. You ready? You ain't said nothing. You ready? All right. Ain't no sense in coming to church and staying quiet. You in the home all this time. Might as well come to church. So watch this. Write this down if you're taking notes. The ascension of Christ is the transference of his resurrected body from this world into heaven, where he is seated at the right hand of the Father. The ascension of Jesus Christ, the raising up of Jesus, please hear this, the raising of Jesus is more than just about getting out of the grave or going through hell and coming up out of hell. It encompasses the entirety of raising him up. I'm gonna say that again. The ascension of Jesus Christ encompasses the totality of him being raised up. We need to understand that because we are being raised up. Write that down. We are being raised up together with him. So for us to understand how God is raising us up, we have to understand how God raised up Jesus. I could get real preachy right there, but let me just say this real quickly. Jesus didn't stay in hell, so you coming out of the hell you in. Tell your neighbor, I'm coming out of the hell I'm in right now. I'm coming out of the hell I'm in right now. The hell you're in right now, you can come up out of that hell you're in right now. The enemy of our souls wants to make us comfortable going through hell and never coming out. I just said something. My heart is just open. Here's another message. I'm not going to preach it now, but I'm getting you ready. When we begin talking about doctrines of demons, one of the doctrines that we got to shake out of the church, I call it victimology. You know, there's some folk that teach you the victim all the time. You ever hear them saints every time you say, oh, I just barely escaped the devil. God, thank you for praying. You a victim. I don't teach victimology here. I don't teach pitiful Christianity. I'm just barely hanging. No, I don't teach that. I don't teach that. I know we have challenges and problems, and I know life is serious, but we are not victims. Somebody shake your head if you can't say nothing. No, don't come to me with that victimology. That means you don't know Christology. So we have to understand what it means to be raised up. We have to understand what the ascension of Jesus Christ means to us. Acts chapter 5, let's go as far as we can go for right now. Verses 30 and 31, Acts 5, 30 and 31. And the Bible reads, and the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Verse 31, him hath God exalted. Him hath God exalted with his right hand, why? To be prince and savior. To give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. The ascension of Jesus Christ can be summed up also in this phrase. It is the exaltation and glorification of Jesus Christ. In other words, God raised Jesus Christ from the dead for the purpose of exaltation and glorification. Now, see, that ought to encourage us. If you really, truly identify with Christ, you realize there's some exaltation in your life. You realize there's some glorification in your future. And unfortunately for too many believers, these terms are not familiar to you. God exalted Jesus to his right hand. The ascension of Jesus Christ, again, is not just about him being raised from the dead and going to heaven. No, the Father exalted Jesus, which means the Father lifted Jesus up, raised him up out of the grave, and raised him up to the highest position, rank, and honor in heaven. He raised Jesus up. Get this mental picture with me. Jesus is crucified and goes into the grave. Then he goes down into Sheol, which is the Hebrew word for the place of the dead. And he preached down there in the inner, many say it's the center of the earth. But so Jesus goes down while he's given up his life, while he's dead, as mankind would say. But the very power of God raised Jesus up because he couldn't stay there. I want you to get a mental picture of him being in hell with the spirits, and they think he's going to stay there with them because they're dead. But he preaches to them and then tells them, oh no, death cannot hold me because I committed no sin that makes me worthy to be here. And the very power of God raises him up out of the dead, out of Sheol. And then he walks around on earth. So he's first vindicated in front of spirits, demons, if you will, the undead, the unliving, rather. He is paraded around among the dead and tells them, I'm not a part of this. I'm not like you. I'm different than you. And then he is resurrected on earth and walks among the people that crucified him, that didn't believe in him, the people that spit on him, beat him. No, I'm not like you either. And then 40 days later, he is caught up into heaven. Watch this now. And he goes through the heavenlies. And all the spirits in the atmosphere, I'm not like you either. I'm not like you either. Until the Father sits him at his right hand. So what am I trying to say? I'm saying to you, the ascension of Jesus Christ, the raising up of Jesus Christ, the exaltation of Jesus Christ is about promotion. See, why is this important? Because you need to realize whether you get promoted down here on earth or not, you will get promoted in heaven. Eventually, you will be recognized for all that you have done that's worthy of recognition from the Father. People may ignore you down here. They may not appreciate the contributions you make down here, but there is an exaltation in your future. Write it down. There is an exaltation, a promotion in my future. This is what enables us to endure hardship like good soldiers, because one of these days we're going to be rewarded. See, if you don't get taught that, you're going to be willing to quit. If you don't get taught there's an exaltation in your future, you'll give up. It's just too tough. And unfortunately, there are many that are giving up. But God wants me to remind you there's no reason for you and I to give up. Somebody, just lift your hand right now and receive the strength of that word into your spirit. I know it's tough. I know it's rough. Look at everything Jesus went through when he was on this earth to redeem us. All the rejection and the hurt and the pain he experienced, physical pain, emotional pain, spiritual pain. But he endured all of that because what? He knew one day there was coming an exaltation in his life for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross, despising the shame. I want you to know you can make it through this. Somebody open your mouth and say, I can make it through this. Oh, say, I don't know what your this is, but there's coming an exaltation, a promotion for you if you just hold on. Don't you quit. Don't you give up on Jesus now. See, we must understand his ascension in order to understand our destiny. I'm gonna say that again. We must understand his ascension in order for us to understand our destiny. Too many people, believers, with all the trouble and the climate change and social injustice and economic hardship, all these things we're hearing, nothing but negative stuff through the news media, you'll think your destiny is pretty much over. The earth is all worn out, you know, and no renewable energy, and everybody's fighting each other and getting guns and killing each other. I mean, what's the use of trying to do right? If you listen to the world, that's what you'll hear. But see, that's not your destiny. That's not our destiny. I read the book, y'all. That's not our destiny. So as we understand more about the exaltation and glorification of Jesus Christ, we'll understand where we're on our way to, and we can be happy in the midst of all this crazy. Just smile through your mask. Don't take it off. Just smile through it. See, Paul understood this. Paul said Jesus was sown in dishonor, but he was raised in glory. What does that mean? You may be experiencing some dishonor right now. People may be disrespecting you, dishonoring you. Your job may not be treating you right, paying you right. You maybe didn't get your stimulus check, or you got a third of it. Your family may be dishonoring you. I mean, just dishonor is just everywhere. Children dishonoring their parents, law enforcement dishonoring citizens. There's just dishonor everywhere. But see, you need to understand, dishonor is not your future. Glory is in your future. And how we know that is as we study and learn about the ascension of Jesus Christ. Paul goes on to say, Jesus was sown in weakness. You might feel weak now. Your bank account might be getting short and weak now. You may be paying bills. You know, you may be someone that owns property, and God bless the people of God and everybody that can't pay their mortgage and their rent. And so the landlords, we you know, hey, we spending our money to keep everybody else afloat, but nobody helping out the landlord. You see what I'm saying? So your bank account may be getting weak as you take care of family and friends and as you navigate through these tough times. But you need to understand it's going to be raised in power. See, that's sown in weakness is raised in power. See, this is why you need to understand, because you may be feeling weak now and you may really be weak now, but your future is not weakness. Your future is power. Paul goes on to say, Jesus sold his natural body, but it was raised a spiritual body. I love that part, especially as you get older. I feel like preaching a little bit right there. No, but when you get older, you wake up and something hurt. What did I do? You know, this old body can't do what it used to do when you know you were in your 20s and your 30s. And so the older you get, at least me, I'm looking forward to that spiritual body, because I'm getting tired of this one right here getting on my nerve every now and then. See, this helps us understand whatever weaknesses we feel in our natural bodies respond to. Let me say it another way. Whether you get the vaccine shots or not, this body is going to become a new body. This body, you're going to get rid of this body. Oh, wait, I felt something kind of trying to push back. Don't play with me. I got the mic. See, don't put too much, listen, take care of yourself, eat right, exercise as best you can. But listen, don't let your body get on your nerve. Just know I'm finna trade you in. I'm gonna trade you in. See, that's the mentality you have to have. Don't let your body, if your body feels bad, you don't feel bad because, oh, my back hurts. So now you treat everybody bad because your back hurt. Oh, now you can't be nice because your arthritis is. No, don't let your body run you like that. See, this is why we have to understand. See, y'all young folk don't know nothing. You don't know what I'm talking about. Your biggest problem is how you gonna fix your hair the next day. Wait till you ain't got no hair and you ain't got to worry about that. Other stuff come into play. John 17:4-5. Jesus is speaking. Jesus says, I glorify you on earth. He's talking to the Father. He says, accomplished the work that you gave me to do. Verse 5. Now, Father, give me glory in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world was. Did you hear what Jesus just said? All the anointing and the glory he got from the signs, wonders, and miracles, the things he did as the Son of God and the Son of Man on earth. Jesus says, now that I have finished my assignment on earth, I want the glory I had with you before there was a world. Are you getting that? In other words, Jesus said, there's another level of glory. And I want to tell your neighbor, there's another level of glory you need to expect in your life. Write it down. Tell somebody, there's another level of glory that you and I should expect. I know your life is glorious. I know you've done great things for God, but none of us have done what Jesus did on earth. And if Jesus did what he did, that was incredibly glorious, and then stops and prays and says, oh, thank you for the glory I have now, Father, but I want the glory back that I had with you before the world was. I want you to look forward to some glory. There's a song we used to sing, there will be glory after this. So no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing, no matter what's coming against you, there is glory after this. There's glory, y'all. There's another level of glory that you and I should expect. And that's all because of the ascension of Jesus Christ. In Romans 8:17, Paul says, if we're children of God, then we're heirs of God. And if we're heirs of God, then we're going to share in Christ's suffering that also allows us to be glorified together. There's some glorification in your future. There's some exaltation in your future. See, you may have, well, I shouldn't say may, all of us do, but I'm going to say it gracefully. You may have a messy past, but if you're in Christ Jesus, you have a glorious future. Who has a messy past? Okay, put your hands down, bless you. Let's be honest. I'm not gonna give you the microphone. Watch this now. Who got some stuff in your past you still ain't testified about? See, but the good thing about it is everybody doesn't and won't know your mess, but eventually everybody gonna see your glory. Oh, isn't that good news? Everybody gonna your glory. You may not know my whole story, but you're going to get a chance to see my glory. If you're glad about that, why don't you just stand on your feet and take about 5 seconds and bless God for your glorious future, because Jesus Christ made it possible for you. He made it possible for me. I'm glad you ain't gonna know everything I did in the past, but you're gonna see the glory of my future. That's just like God. That's why you gotta stay focused. You may be seated. You gotta stay focused on your future. Don't just get trapped in your messy present or your messy past. Jesus broke the barrier. He went through hell, came up through the center of the earth, walked around on earth, said, "You can't stop me." God raised him up through the heavens, and the principalities and powers couldn't stop him until he sat him on the right hand of the Father. I'm telling you, you got a destiny, you got a future, and you have a hope. 1 Corinthians 6:14. Let me finish this. God raised the Lord, and he will also raise us up by his power. Just as God raised up the Lord, Jesus, he's going to raise us up. Just like. That's why you got to know what it was like. You got to know how he raised him so you can see how you're being raised. Because all the enemy wants to see, he wants to show you, he wants you to focus on is your faults. Your failures, who didn't promote you, who broke up with you. He's never going to remind you who stuck with you. Jesus is a friend that's sticking closer than a brother. All he wants you to think about is the people that lied on you, but he don't want you to think about Jesus is that they're telling the truth about you to the Father. 2 Corinthians 4:14. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us up also with Jesus and bring us into his presence. Bring us into his presence. See, praise and worship and prayer and devotion, they're more than just duties that we perform. And of course, they are. They are to teach us how to not only invoke God's presence, but get used to living in his presence. I'm gonna say that again. The reason we devote ourselves in prayer and worship and fasting, singing and dancing, is to invoke God's presence so we can get used to living in his presence. See, y'all gotta get this thing back in your head and in your heart that I will bless the Lord at all times, and that his praise will continually be in my mouth. See, because when you praise him, his presence shows up. You should get used to his presence instead of the presence of CNN, NBC, ABC, and everybody else in your house and on your life. You're walking around with the presence of everything else on you. You've not gotten used to the presence of God. Once you get used to living in the presence of God, then you will experience godliness on a more continual basis. Like this little saying I've been saying lately. I've said it lately during this coronavirus. I must keep saying it. I'm going to say it now. Corona is not on every doorknob, not on every leaf. It's not omnipresent. Only God is everywhere present at one time, which means that get used to the presence of God, when you walk out of your house, the first presence you should experience is God, not sickness, disease, crime. But maybe the reason you're so afraid of Corona is you're not used to his presence. I don't walk out of my house and fear hit me all of a sudden. You got to live. You got to learn to live in his presence. You have to learn how to invoke his presence through your prayer life, through your worship life, through your singing, through your own dancing. Talk about this more when I get to talking about Pentecost. We've lost some things in the church that we got to get back. Death had no power over Jesus, so God could continue to raise him up and exalt him. Acts 2:24. But God raised him from death to life and destroyed the pains of death. Because death had no power to hold him. My brothers and my sisters, since death has no power to hold Jesus Christ, death has no power over you and I either. I want you to stop fearing death. I want you to stop fearing death. That's a tall order. I can see it all on your face. This is why we need to know Jesus. This is why we need to understand what exalts us and gives us power over death. Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The Spirit of God, Holy Spirit. You don't need to be afraid of death. All right. I guess I got extra time. See, the reason too many, I'm talking about believers now. The reason too many believers hold on to folk too long is because you're afraid of death. Listen. Let me just talk about me, because I know y'all are real sensitive. That's why I'm talking about me. But this does concern Pastor Deborah. Watch this. Listen. This is for the record. Don't keep me alive by machines. Let the preacher go be with Jesus. Lord have mercy. I have no quality of life. One of my eyes half open. No, don't do me like that. Don't do me like that. This vile body, let it go. I've been trying to. No. Let me go. I ain't dead. I can't die. Let me be exalted. This is why you holding on to folk. That's no. Let your relative go. They've been stuck down here on this planet long enough. Let them be exalted. Let them experience the glorification that goes with being with Jesus. Do you understand? I know I'm shocking you. Ain't no glory laying in no hospital bed for 9 months. Ain't no promotion. As vital as I am, you gonna let me be promoted to a sick bed? See, you got to change how you think. That's why your mind needs to be renewed. Do like this. Just turn the channel in your brain. Yeah, now you can get it. Now you can get it. It's promotion. After Jesus died and finished his assignment, he was promoted. That's what the ascension is. It's exaltation, promotion, honor, and it's glorification, which is also honor. After death comes honor. You got to believe it. You can't love this world, because those that love this world, the love of the Father ain't in them. Are you hearing the preacher today? Y'all look like y'all just got to church for the first time in your life. The ascension of understanding the ascension of Jesus Christ is essential for us living a victorious life so we can get our reward later. You don't get everything now. Oh, I just can't leave now. I got more to do. Man, listen, if I ain't done it, Cameron and Alexis can do it. Or Pastor Deborah, but she,
Amen. This is how we need to think. Notice what David said. Psalm 16, verses 8 and 9. He says, David, king, hundreds of years before Christ, Jesus Christ was born. He says, I will always keep the Lord, all caps, in front of me. When he is by my side, I cannot be moved. Verse 9. Therefore, hallelujah, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My whole being, even this vile body, is rejoicing. He goes on to say, my flesh also dwells secure. Did you hear what David said? My flesh is secure. You need to get a revelation that makes your flesh secure. Verse 10, for you will not abandon me in Sheol. That is the place of the dead. You will not abandon my soul in Sheol. Neither will you let your Holy One see corruption. Oh, this is good gospel news. David is prophesying about the resurrected Christ while he's talking about himself, which is, means he had a revelation. If David had one before Holy Ghost-filled people lived, why can't we, as Holy Ghost-filled people, get the revelation that David had? What is that revelation? My Redeemer lives. Like Job said, I know that my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. And he's going to stand on the earth, and I'm going to stand on the earth with him. Everywhere they bruised him, he's going to stand. Everywhere they lied on you, we're going to stand. Everywhere they did you wrong, you're going to stand there. Every time you heard no, you're going to stand there. Every time they set you up, blackmailed you, kept you from getting a job, whatever horrible things happened to you on this earth, you're going to stand right there as a victor. That's what Jesus did. When he came up out of the grave and walked on the earth for 40 days, he went everywhere where they dogged him. And said, how you like me now? Everywhere they rejected him. Can't reject me now. Where they beat him, where they bruised him, where they whipped him. Can't whip me now. This is what understanding the ascension. Tell somebody, I'm being raised up while you're looking at me. Now say this. Say this too. This is important. Say this to the same people or someone different. Say, I'm being transformed while you're looking at me. See, that's why you can't put me in a box, because I'm breaking every box I've been in since I've been born. I'm talking to somebody right now that you're breaking glass ceilings. Yes, let me prophesy. You're going to do what no one in your family has ever done before. You're going to surpass everybody that was your boss. You're going to do it better than they did. Yes, you're going to have ideas better than those that wouldn't listen. Yes, you're going to surpass. You're going to go beyond. Listen, the exceeding greatness of God is about to manifest in your life. That's why we're ascending with him. Because you can't stay where you are. My God in heaven. David said, I keep him always in my view. I keep who the resurrected Jesus is. I keep who the ascended Jesus is in my view at all times, so that I remember I cannot be stopped from becoming what he's making me. Nothing can stop us from becoming what he's making us. Not sickness, not disease, not poverty, unemployment, family problems,
government problems, water shortages, climate change, all the things being thrown at this generation. I want you to know none of those things can stop you and I from becoming what God intended us to be. Because nothing stopped Jesus from becoming what God intended him to be. I'm going to explain that and get out of here. David says, my heart is always glad, and my whole being rejoices, and my flesh rests securely. Why? Because I know my Redeemer lives. And I know he's not going to leave me in hell. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. Think of all the demons you've had to fight while you were on top of the earth. You ain't going to have to stay in the inner earth and fight demons. No, 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 no. No, no, no. When you and I die, we go to Abraham's bosom. See, you're experiencing about all the hell you're going to experience if you love Jesus. See, that's where we get our hope from. That's where you and I gain our strength from. This is about as bad as it's going to get for most of us. Neither will your soul experience decay or corruption. Now, most of us don't have a clue of what that really means unless you had been sick or had a flesh-eating disease or you watched some of your limbs deteriorate through war or some other horrible tragedy. But you need to understand that the parts of you that matter the most will never be diminished. Write that down. The most important parts of who we are will never fade away. The devil don't have that much power. Psalm 16:11, you make me know the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. This is, again, why you need to constantly practice the presence of God. Don't wait till you get to church. You'll miss some joy you could have had at home. You'll miss some joy you could have had on the train going to work. You'll miss some joy you could have even in the hospital. You can have the joy of the Lord even in the hospital because of God's presence. You got to know how to invoke his presence. And then he goes on to say, at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. So, let me finish. The ascension of Jesus Christ, being raised up with him, is not just coming from death to life. And that's powerful, awesome. But it's going on to exaltation and glorification. Philippians 2:8-9, the Bible reads, and this is again consistent with what we've been sharing when Paul said, I might know him. Paul says, and being found in fashion as a man, he's talking about Jesus Christ. What did Jesus do? He humbled himself. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross, which the cross was one of the most disgraceful ways to die during Jesus' time. Jesus didn't just submit to death. He submitted to being shamefully executed, giving his life up in the most shameful way. I want to talk to somebody just for a minute that you are dealing with so much shame, you don't want to come out of your apartment. You are dealing with so much disgrace, so much hatred, you don't want to come out of your home, all because of your righteous stand, all because you refuse to compromise your walk and stand with Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus went through for us. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, the most horrible, shameful death on the cross. And Paul goes on to say, because he did that, in verse 9, God has highly exalted. Paul could have just said, because he did that, God exalted. No, Paul could have said, because Jesus did that, God exalted him. But he did not say that God just exalted him. He did not say that the Father just exalted him. No, Paul wants us to know that Jesus was highly, man, I feel the power of God, highly exalted. What does it mean to be highly exalted? It means he was exalted to the extreme, the most high place. What is that? The right hand of the Father. There's nobody higher than Jesus. There's nobody with any more honor than Jesus. There's no one with more power than Jesus. The ascension of Jesus is about the exaltation, the promotion of Jesus. I want somebody to know, you may have been in that dead-end job for 15 years, but God sees everything you do, and one day you're going to be promoted in the kingdom of God. Even if the world does not recognize your value, your heavenly Father recognizes your value, and one day you're going to be exalted. One day you're going to be exalted. In fact, the Bible says in Ephesians, far above all principality and power, any power that mocked you, any power that resisted you, any power that tried to hold you down, every power that tried to stop you, you're going to be exalted above that power. That's why you and I need to understand the ascension of Jesus Christ. Why you need to know, because you need to stop wondering if you ever gonna overcome. I'm tired of saying this song, we shall overcome. Yes, we will. There's no power that's above you other than Jesus. We're seated with him. When he got up, we got up. I know you heard it so much you don't even believe it. It's just a phrase. When Jesus got up from the grave, we got up. When Jesus came out of hell, we came out of hell. Tell somebody, I ain't never going to hell. I done seen enough of it already. When God, we read at the end of Acts, there went in Acts chapter 5, when God raised Jesus up from the earth and transferred his glorious body into heaven, you and I are going to go straight through the atmosphere. Paul said it. We're going to be caught up. Tell somebody, promotion's in my future. I'm trying to get you to understand this. Promotion's in your future. Everything that tried to hold you down can't hold you, because you're going to be caught. He's going to snatch you up. We're being transformed right now. It's happening right now. First, it's happening in your mind, in your spirit. Then it's going to happen in the future. You just got to get it in your head and in your heart. Can't nobody hold you back? Hold you down? Wherefore, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name, a nature, a character, a reputation, given him a name. People always wonder why I use military examples. Because it's the clearest picture of when they change your name from private to sergeant. Whole other ball game. You're still in the same army, but you've been given another name, another rank. Tell somebody, my rank is going to change. Ooh-wee. Your rank is going to change. You need to understand, Jesus' rank changed. Remember what we read in John 17 when Jesus prayed? He said, I thank you, Father, for allowing me and helping me to fulfill the assignment that you gave me, and I glorified you in it. But there's more glory. I want you to know there's more glory. I want you to know to finish your assignment. Woo! I want you to know it's imperative that we finish our assignment because there's more glory after this. And that's what Jesus said. And this is what Paul is telling us, that God gave him a name, a rank, a title, honor far beyond what he had when he walked the earth, and demons trembled at the very presence of Jesus. But now he's got another level of honor because he's seated at the right hand of the Father. I want you to know, as anointed as you ever could get and how many devils run from you, there's still another level of honor that's awaiting you and I as we get raised up, as we are exalted. Because in the exaltation is also glorification. And that's what Jesus got. He got a name, Paul says, that was far above any other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Every knee. That means anyone that understands authority, every being, ants, plants, animals, man, demons, every knee is going to bow. Then he says, if that's not bad enough, he says, every tongue, every intelligent being will confess. Confess means to say the same thing as. Get this picture in your mind. Every plant, ant, animal, human, cat, dog. Now, every speaking, intelligent being, man, woman, the four living creatures, the seraphim, the teraphim, if you believe in aliens, all of them, host of them. Jesus said, say I'm Lord, you Lord, say I'm Lord, you Lord, say I'm Lord. They all go say the same, say I'm Lord, you Lord, say I'm Lord, you Lord. That's in your future. So it doesn't matter what they're saying about you now. There's going to come a time when they're going to say who you are at your glorification. The ascension of Christ is the transference of his resurrected body, glorified body, from this world into heaven, from this world where time is the limitation, into eternity where there is no limitation. So much in that. When you have eternity, the only way I can say it, and it doesn't fit grammatically. But in eternity, you have all the time you need to do whatever you need to do. Because there's no time in eternity. So you have no limitation. Whatever you are, you will always be. Isn't that something? And this is what happened at the ascension of Jesus. He got his glorified body and was caught up into heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father and be that forever. There's coming a time, everyone stand on your feet. There's coming a time when we are transformed into his likeness, that we will always be what we have become. And you'll never have to worry. That's why the scripture says there'll be no more crying. Why? Because the enemy can't make you cry. He won't put any bad memories in your mind. You won't remember your messy past. You're going to be so glorious. You're going to be shining so tough until man, look at me. Look at what God has made me. Some of you need to lift your hands even right now and say, look at what God has made me so far. Look at how far I've come already. Look at how much he's blessed me already. Look at how much he's transformed me already. Look at how he has raised me up and promoted me spiritually already. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you for what you've done, and I thank you for allowing the Father to glorify. Come on, somebody. Let the Lord your God glorify you. Stop being who you are now and seeing who you can be. Start seeing what your future really is in Christ Jesus as God raised him up far above all principality and power. Start seeing yourself come up out of your trouble, up out of your struggle, up out of your depression, up out of your oppression. See yourself rising up, because the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives on the inside of you. Stop being afraid of death and danger and realize there really is no weapon that is formed against you that can stop you from becoming everything God is making you to be. Realize that. Believe that. As he raised, the Father raised Jesus, so he's raising you. Let him raise you up. Let him raise you up. If you're in this building today, or you're watching by computer screen, telephone, or television, if you're not saved today, Jesus came to raise you up. If you're not saved, he came to raise you up out of sin. He came so that death would not rule over you, that you would not feel like a slave to the lifestyle you're living. God the Father raised him up so you and I could be raised up. And if you want to be raised up, lift your hands, repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God with power. I believe that God the Father sent you to die for the sins of the world. I'm a sinner and I don't want to be. I confess my sin. I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. I want to be exalted with you. I want to experience the glorification that the Father promised you, that you promised all those that love you. I thank you for this message from this man of God. I receive it in faith. Therefore, this day, I am a child of God, and I thank you for the transformation that will continue in my life as I continue in your kingdom, in your word, by your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't everybody in here clap their hands, because your cousin, your niece, maybe your granddaddy got saved, gave their life back to the Lord, and they're going to be raised up together with him. If you want to join this church, I do this every now and then. I don't do this every Sunday. Everyone bow your heads one more time, please. If you want to join this church, even if you're at home, you can email us and let us know. If you want to join this church and you're in this building today, raise your hand and I'll pray for you. I see one hand. I see a hand. I see a hand. Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, they want to connect to this wholesome, healthy, growing, vibrant body of believers. I pray that their heart will be connected to your heart first, so they can be truly connected to us. I pray that their fellowship would be with you, so their fellowship can truly be with us and the apostles from the doctrine that we teach. Transform their lives. Make us a family, the family of God. Cause us to grow in knowledge and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Put your hands together. Thank God for those that joined with this ministry in the house. God bless you and those watching.
Well, thank you for joining us. I also want to thank you in advance for clicking on the link to support our ministry. Your giving is what moves ministry forward, and ministry must move forward. You can also visit us online at cffczion.org for more information. If you were blessed by this word, please subscribe and share this podcast with your friends and family. God bless you.